This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
Hello once again, Lucha Lushes. We are here for another edition of Lucha Undead Get to Know the PTBN PWO with another member of the, I guess, the core four. Technically, we got Scott Criscolo. Scott, how are you doing tonight?
I'm great, Tim. Thanks for having me on. This is another one of those shows that I would have been honored to be asked to be on. It also makes the official number of podcasts I've been on, Place to Be Nation, to 3,624. But I will move your name further up the list, probably like rank and file, because nobody likes Jordan Duncan anyway. So you're definitely higher on the food chain than most people.
I'm inching my way to the top there. I don't know why. I got to be on Place to Be, which got put over by Brad.
Yes,
but
are.
For that, Brad was telling me just how special that is. Not everybody gets to be a guest on there. I was like, oh, thanks, you know.
No, it was a great episode. It was a pleasure to have you on.
Yeah, it was so much fun. So I guess start out. I mentioned there being a member of the Core Four. Am I out of line saying that? Do you consider yourself part of the Core Four? Is that a?
Oh yeah, no, it's myself, the official, I guess you could say, board of directors of Place to Be Nation is myself, JT Rosero. Although I don't really know him as JT, but I know that's his kind of stage name. Chad Campbell and Brad Woodling. So yeah, we are the four that kind of are the backbone of the website and the podcast feeds and such. But obviously, since then, the family has grown, and we have a fantastic collection of people that help out on the website and everything. But if you ask who the core four are, it's myself, Justin, Brad, and Chad. We're pretty much the guys on the top
four.
Yeah,
and
you will.
I think I'll just like weirdly break the space time. Or how the kind of plot line of how the show goes. You are technically the third member of the Core Four to be on the show. But at the time that I'm saying this, I can say for sure that we will have all four on within the next couple of weeks. So, you know, just it's kind of nice to – that's the whole point of the show. So the next, I guess, question I always keep forgetting to make it the first thing I ask, but are you now or have you ever been a member of the PWO board?
Yeah, I'm on the PWO board at the moment. I don't even know what the hell my name is. I think it's Drama 16.
Oh, really?
Is that what my name is? I think so.
Yeah, I didn't even know.
Yeah,
that.
It was I opened my account back when I was watching Entourage, and Johnny Drama was my favorite character, so at the time I was kind of into that. So I'm pretty sure Drama 16, I think that's what it is. I don't even remember. But I actually have, believe it or not, I actually have the PWO board open a lot during the day at work, and I'll peruse on various topics, but the minute people see the Triple H signature, I don't really feel like having tomatoes thrown at me. So it's all good. But I do go occasionally. I don't comment as much because I'll be honest, a lot of the conversations admittedly go over my head, and I'm not one of those kind of guys I'm not one of those ones who will go onto a chat thread if I'm not attuned to the wrestling topic. So I'll just leave it alone. And I love reading threads. So, but I am a member of the PWO board. I'm pretty sure that's what my name is. I can't believe I can't remember. But I've been a member for probably like 4 years,
okay,
I guess.
Yeah,
now.
And so what was it? Drama 16 possibly, is it? Is that what you said?
I think it's Drama 16, yeah.
So if you see that, it's possibly Scott. It's possibly someone else. It may not exist. So, that's part of the point of the show too, is I find that a lot of it's getting better, but there are people on the PTBN podcasts who you have no clue who they are outside of the podcasts, like who they are on Twitter. Your Twitter is kind of easy because your Twitter is just Scott is your name, Scott Criscolo, correct? Yeah. So
yes, it is.
Easy to find. But the board, a lot of people have different names. I mean, it took me forever to realize who Campbell Soup. I should have gotten that, but Chad was, you know, I should have put that one together. Brad was an easier one, but Justin was a difficult one because I would see that there's someone posting essentially under the auspices of being the Place to Be Nation, and I never really knew who it was, and then, you know, come to find out it's JT.
Right.
That's part of it. So essentially, your aces at this point, we've kind of passed the checkoff list so far. So Scott, your background is a little bit different than a lot of other people. because I picked up or I deigned the information. I don't know if I'm incorrect here, but you kind of had a background in terrestrial radio more. Did you do more terrestrial radio at some point before even podcasting?
I was in radio for 11 years. It all began when I was a sophomore in college, way back in 1992, way back. I was at my college radio station. And then pretty much right after I graduated from college in 1995, I became an on-air personality on the radio stations close to where I grew up in Hamden, Connecticut. I was at these stations for about 3 years, and then I was at another radio station a little further south, Connecticut, Bridgeport area, close to where actually, because he lives in Connecticut, also Glenn Butler lives, neck of the woods.
Oh, I didn't even realize that.
And he lives in this fine state as well. And that I was there for 4.5 years. I did news. I was actually the afternoon news anchor and night reporter. So I was in radio, terrestrial radio, from 1992 as a full-time job from 1992 to 2003. And in the last 13 years, it's kind of tailed off the last 4 or 5 years, but I've done kind of like part-time morning sports for an AM station here in the lower Fairfax County area, Connecticut. So I've been around the block in terrestrial radio. So I think that's kind of where the impetus of being a podcaster began, because I have the voice to be a host, because I did it for a living. So that was it. I was in terrestrial radio for 11 years before I got out of the business.
Yeah, because you definitely do have the voice, and you have the kind of, I guess, the mannerisms, or that's not, I don't even think that's correct, because it's vocal and not physical, but you kind of have the cues and do the whole thing. And I think I was talking to Justin, and he brought that up, that early on in the podcast, some habits that, not necessarily bad habits, but habits that didn't apply anymore to podcasting were tough to break, like resetting after breaks and stuff like that, he said you were doing.
Yep. Like I would, believe it or not, the first couple of shows, I would be like, you're listening to the Place to Be podcast. We're talking. And I'm like, wait a minute, they haven't left. And no one goes into the middle of a podcast. So yes, there were a lot of cues and habits that I had to get out of. And because obviously if you're listening to a podcast, you have been listening from the beginning. So I don't have to reset because you haven't left. So it's not like you left the podcast going and walked away and came back and it's still there. So, yeah. So no, there were definitely some habits that I had to
break from throwing to the traffic and weather on the 15s.
Exactly. Not long. I would say probably about 4 or 5 episodes, because I our first podcast was February of 2011. I had probably stopped doing – I kind of overlapped a bit. I would say I probably stopped doing the morning sports gig in 2012. So, but that was updates. I wasn't doing whole shows. I was just doing, you know, morning sports for the AM morning show. So it wasn't like I was talking for long stretches. So it wasn't that hard. But I would say probably by like episode 3 or 4, I kind of got out of it, and, you know, Justin and I were able to become more conversational and kind of got out of the habits of it. So it's not too bad now. I don't go to sports at the 15s and 45s. I don't ask for callers.
Yeah, right.
but it took a couple episodes to get out of the habit. But the good thing about me that I can honestly say is, if I ever got back into the terrestrial radio game, I probably could get back into it pretty comfortably. And if I have the ability to be able to do both at the same time, I'll be pretty proud of myself.
Yeah, right.
if I could do terrestrial radio and podcasting at the same time, I think I could get away with it.
Yeah, so. No, and it's not a bad thing. It's just, it's so interesting how few there really are of people who kind of made that transition from the terrestrial to the podcasting game. I mean, there's a few, obviously, like Adam Carolla is known pretty big, but he even was one of the guys who didn't necessarily fit into the terrestrial radio style and did more of a, he kind of liked the long form talking, as well as Mark Maron, obviously, who became a huge hit as podcasting. He's another guy who his terrestrial radio show was a little bit more long format and didn't necessarily fit. So it's really interesting to see someone who, like yourself, did do well in terrestrial radio, then transition over to podcasting. It's kind of neat. I don't know if you maybe if you're familiar of anybody else who kind of did that or you know, I don't know. But like just doing such a good job of it is something, I guess, to be proud of, because a lot of guys who made it, who made that leap, were people who didn't fit in. And I don't know if maybe you picked up on that or if you think I'm way off base saying something like that.
I mean, it is difficult because there's honestly the more difficult thing, and it took a long time for me, is the ability to kind of be more free flowing. For instance, I was embedded in me in the many years I was in terrestrial radio that you don't swear. And I think that, is the difficult part. I obviously could not swear, particularly when I was in news. So when I got comfortable doing the podcast, it took me a long time. And then sometimes I'll go overboard, but I think that's a key thing too. I think it's just the, your behavior, how comfortable you feel, what you're doing. One of the original PTB guys who was on some of the early podcasts was Grant Owens. He's also a radio guy. Todd Weber, another guy, done radio work. So it is very – it is difficult sometimes to cross the line. And I think if you get into the podcast game before doing anything else – like look at all the wrestlers right now. Ric Flair has a podcast. Taz does a podcast for CBS Sports Radio. Then of course you have obviously the big ones, Jericho, and obviously the biggest one is Stone Cold. He had two podcasts, believe it or not. He had a regular one and then he had like Unleashed. I forgot what it was called, but that's where he did all the Unleashed. That's where he did all the, if you don't mind my swearing. You know, that's where you heard all the shits and fucks that you didn't hear on the other show. It was two different kinds of shows. So when you could split that, that's pretty impressive. But I would have to say that's one of the biggest things, Tim, is that your personality comes out more in a podcast because you're producing it. It's your topic, whatever it is, whether it could be wrestling, sports, music, whatever. In terrestrial radio, when you're in a specific setting and it's kind of it's very rigid, and you have to be a certain way, then you do it long enough and you could do it comfortably. So that's what it comes down to, is being comfortable with how can project yourself on a self-contained podcast or on terrestrial.
Yeah, I think it's true too. You get so used to, in a way, playing a character, even which sounds probably kind of crazy if you're just like the guy who does the, you know, the news updates or the sports updates like you were doing or something along those lines. But realistically, on radio, it is so much more of a put, and it is, I'm this guy, I'm professional, I'm doing this thing. And then, like you said, the podcast, it's more about letting the real you come out, which then becomes an issue. People, you talked about Stone Cold. People really, there was some backlash towards Jim Ross. And I heard a lot of people online saying, God, I loved Jim Ross so much. And now that I'm getting to know what he's like, you know, in the podcast world, he kind of annoys me, or he kind of creeps me out, or he's kind of a jerk, or I get why Vince McMahon picked on him so much is something that I heard, you know? So it does turn into, you have to be comfortable putting yourself out there and talking about Stone Cold's Unleashed. I had a conversation the other day with my wife, who's like, passively aware that wrestling, she goes to shows with me sometimes. She watches wrestling, obviously, because I watch it so often. But like, she's right. Familiar that Stone Cold existed in The Rock. Obviously, she's a big fan of The Rock from movies and stuff like that. But I was explaining to her, like, oh yeah, on the Austin Unleashed, it's really funny because like his catch slogans seem to be like, I don't know whether to shit or wind my watch, and he likes to say half a cunt hair faster. And it is kind of like, yeah, that's on the Unleashed episodes, and it's really weird.
Yeah.
That it's like he's got these weird things that he likes to say, and it can almost, I could see that turning someone completely off on him, you know, is saying those things so regularly.
Right.
And it is, it's like, how do you put yourself out there? So, I mean, for you, was there some trepidation that you're like, I'm going from being a guy who hits my spots on the show or even hosting a show as a character to now I'm putting out the real Scott Criscolo for everyone to judge, unfortunately, or enjoy, hopefully, you know?
It was different. before I had done the podcast, and I think JR mentioned this when you had him on. I had been doing a streaming. I had been doing both a wrestling show and a sports show for my friend's streaming radio station, and it was kind of a combination of both to let out my personality and at the same time keep the rigidity of being a radio personality. But obviously one of my passions is wrestling, or else I wouldn't be doing this. And I didn't get a chance to do a lot of that kind of stuff. And I always thought to myself, wow, imagine doing like a radio wrestling show. How cool would that? And I used to think that back in the, you know, early 90s when I used to listen to it on WFAN in New York. And the ability to kind of show off your sense of humor and just the different sides of your personality that you can't do, particularly if you have a position of whether you're just there to read sports scores or read the headlines, which was a lot of my radio career. I did co-host a morning show for a couple years, so that was fun. But most of the time, my on-air time was hosting talk shows or sports or news. So it was very rigid in terms of its content. So podcasting kind of does open you up, because really there's no – I mean, all bets are off. You could pretty loosely do whatever you want. And as for people judging me, or hey, you know what? You could listen – I mean, sure, you want everybody to listen, but could listen or you don't listen. I don't let that kind of stuff bug me. You know, I have my quirks. You know, Justin has his quirks. Ben Morse has his quirks. We all have our weird personality quirks. So I hope that putting them together, whatever show I do, is entertaining and people could laugh either at me or with me. And, you know, I don't mind being picked on. I mean, if everybody listens to the Place B podcast, you know, JR, we have the running gag that I have an unhealthy relationship with Triple H. I've never even met the guy. But, you know, but I'm happy with that. If you can't take yourself, you know what the key thing is, Tim? If you take yourself too seriously, don't bother. Because nobody wants somebody like that. Nobody wants to listen to somebody who wants to be serious all the time and wants to have this veneer about them. Nobody wants somebody like
that.
You gotta go out there. One of the first things, and I apologize if this answer is going long, but I'll give you a prime example. When I was doing my streaming radio show, my name was Scott Steele. I actually use Steele as a radio name. When Justin and I first talked about doing the podcast, he said to me, "You're going to use Chris Golo, right?" I said, "I don't know. He goes, "No. What are we going to do gags for? We'll do gags when we make fun of each other. You know, and have fun, but they might as well know our names." And I said, and I remember talking to my friend George, a.k.a. Dr. G, and he didn't agree with that. He thought I should keep my radio name because, you know, doing other aspects of my life, business and such, should you stick yourself out there? And I said, you know what? The industry I'm in, nobody listens to – none of them wrestling fans, and those who do could care less. So after talking about it, I said to him, all right. I'm cool with it, so that's why I use my real name, and that's why I use my real, you know, Twitter handle and all that kind of thing. Once you're comfortable enough doing that, then all bets are off. So I'm very comfortable whatever we've done on any shows I've done. And, you know, I'd like to think we're pretty entertaining. And we've gotten some jabs on Facebook and stuff, and that's okay. You know what? Means you're listening. I'd rather have somebody listen and insult me than not listen at all. That's always been my mantra.
That's a healthy takeaway, you know? To keep yourself sane and like just in general. I mean, I prefer that, and I do kind of love the, you know, people don't want to hear someone who just wants to take themselves too seriously. It's why that Lance Storm podcast probably isn't as popular as the Brian and Vinny show. You know what I mean? Over on the F4W network,
because right.
it's attuned to a certain crowd. I like the serious side of things. I like, you know, listen to NPR and weird. Now there's podcasts that like get into stuff that would have probably been, I guess, articles. I don't even know what you call them, but little segments on like a public radio. Now there's podcasts out there like 99% Invisible or, Invisibilia, or now I need something else that has to do with being invisible as a podcast name, but I don't think there's a third. But otherwise, you know, like, right. There is that side to it, but there is also, I want a show that's lighthearted, entertaining, and guys who are comfortable putting themselves out there, like you said, and once you do it, you just do it. It is. It's like, if someone knows me from it, if I run into someone in real life and they're like, oh, you're on that podcast, well, then that means that they listen to it and they probably like it and they're going to be like, okay, cool, you know, that's great. And then otherwise, they're just not going to have any idea. That's kind of the positive thing about media being so fragmented now and so insulated, is it's like, either you're part of it or you have almost no clue about it. Like, unfortunately, I don't know anything right. about pop music. Like, I couldn't tell you who the most popular singer is or anything right now, but that's because I just don't care about it. But I could name.
Neither do I.
I could name the top 100 wrestlers. That's for sure. You know, like, so yeah, it's just yeah. It is that way now. I did kind of want to backtrack and say, you said that you, when you were doing the part time thing, you were doing just kind of sports updates. But I mean, it sounded like you kind of ran the gambit of in your terrestrial radio work, doing everything from hosting to, I mean, but was it mostly talk format, or did you kind of DJ? Did you do that whole thing, or kind of give me, I guess, your resume? What did you do?
Well, when I was in college, the 3 years I was, you know, that I did my radio, I did actually have a jazz show. Here was the thing. I this was my imagination, and kind of my general manager, who I want to shout out to, Bruce Avery, who used to do weather here in New England, New England Television. I don't know why I thought this way, but I wanted to do a jazz show, and I was the play-by-play guy for the football team. So for sports in general, for at my school. So I wanted to have two different characters. So I did the sports show on Tuesdays, and then I was for a couple years I did pregame, halftime, and postgame for football, and then I was the play-by-play guy, and I was just myself, Scott Griscola. But every Thursday morning from 6 a.m. to 8:30. I was Scotzo, the jazz doctor, for the jazz show, and I actually lowered my voice a little bit, and I'd be like, "All right, we got a little, David Benoit coming up next. It's Scotzo, the jazz doctor, at 6:27." So I was trying to have fun with creating a different character. Nobody bought it. I think what made it even funnier is nobody bought it. It was kind of like Hulk Hogan and Mr. America in 2003. You know, people knew it was me, but they got a kick out of me attempting to not be me. So, So that was the one time I actually did music on terrestrial radio. I did a jazz show, traditional jazz, you know, like Toots Thielman and that kind of stuff. I did play a lot of Billy Joel, too. Other than that, when I was out of the business, or when I was out of college and got into regular paid radio for the next 8 years, I mostly did news. But I did host a morning show on an AM station. So we did a lot of pop culture, and we told jokes and that kind of thing. And then I did a lot of – I did do a lot of sports. I produced a sports show on Sunday nights, and I did news for a while there too. And then when I went to the stations in Bridgeport, Connecticut, that was all news. I was the afternoon drive anchor, and I was the night reporter. So I went out and covered stories and, you know, took in audio and cut them up, and I did news stories for 4.5 years. I was able to stretch out in sports when I was there. I was able to do Thanksgiving football games every year. That was fun because I got paid for that separate from my salary. So that was nice. And I love sports, and I love football. So, and I was able to do like election night, which was a big deal locally in our area. So that was fun. So other than the show in college, I never actually spun music as a jock. Most of my radio stuff was on AM stations. So it was mostly news or sports. So I never actually got to do like a real, music show. And I would say, and I was, it's funny because I was talking to a buddy of mine a couple nights ago who I worked with. In fact, I worked for him. He was my general manager. That was still on my bucket list. I still want to do a music show. So that is still on my bucket list of my professional bucket list. I still want to do a music show. Maybe Grant Owens will let me do new music. Who knows? But So there you go. Most of my 11 years in the business was sports and news.
Okay. Yeah, that's such a weird thing, the way that radio music on the radio obviously works really well, but every time I've seen someone try to essentially transition that into a podcast, it just doesn't work. you never have like a good kind of radio or music podcast, where they kind of like less than just talking about music, they like just play songs and kind of go in and out and talk about stuff like similar to what would be on the radio, right? And I've never seen one that like caught fire or got popular. You would think with podcasting getting so popular now, because I don't know about you, but obviously I do know about you. You were making a podcast years and years ago, so you did kind of get in on the ground floor, and were aware of it. But I don't know. I've just never seen that be something that even now, with how popular podcasting has become compared to where it was at a few years ago, just can't work. I don't know. Do you think there's a reason? Do you think there's why like a music podcast just doesn't seem to work?
A lot of it is legal. You can't play songs on music podcasts because you need, there's two music rights companies. One's called BMI, the other's called ASCAP. And they monitor music on FM stations. I don't know if it works for like Sirius XM, but for FM terrestrial stations, and they have to report those because that's how they pay royalties to the artist. So if you could do a podcast where there's no limits and you could play music, then you're probably okay. But I think that's the problem. I think a lot of it's legal mumbo jumbo, because if you can't play music on a music podcast, then it's pretty dry. So, and also you have to have the right personalities for it too. And you have to have people that know what they're talking about. You can't just have like, yeah, I like that Aerosmith song, Dream Something or Other. I like The Killers. Yeah, I like them too. But you can't play a song. So I think it's a combination of the right personalities to do it and the fact that I think legally you can't play music.
Yeah, and I think because I have heard of podcasts where they played music and talked in between the songs, and it may have been stuff where they got the rights cleared because it was a smaller band. Like I remember one early on that was like these are bands that people should hear about kind of thing. And so that's probably part of it too, because you're not necessarily playing popular music. You're playing like, here's some cool songs that I've heard, and so people are not as in tune. And that's a problem too, is like people's taste. So it's like you would never be able to please your fans regularly enough to where they would continuously download the episodes, because it would be like maybe one out of every five episodes would be music that they're into. And then meanwhile, a lot of the other stuff is songs that they're not interested in. So yeah, it's just such a tough thing. I guess it is because music on the radio can be so much more passive. Like you just put it on, it plays for a couple minutes, and then it goes to the next song. And it is, for the most part, poppy, catchy stuff that you could just be okay with. Now, I know you're super into the Yacht Rock station and that, so I thought you were involved in that, but you're not in any way, just a fan of it?
Oh, yeah. It's funny you say that, because I think a lot of people think JR and I actually work for Sirius XM because we are so pro Yacht Rock. But no, we are just fans, and I actually consistently tweet to the Sirius XM official Yacht Rock Twitter handle, Twitter account, as well as the Save Yacht Rock, because last summer they didn't bring it back. They didn't keep it and throw it like on the online channels, so they got a lot of flack for that. And then this summer they had it on the main channel, and now that it's Labor Day they moved it. It's like on channel 418 or something. But no, I have sent my resume, and I've sent tapes to Sirius over the years for both news, sports, and wrestling. Sadly, no callbacks, but that's okay. I'll still stay a loyal customer.
Yeah. Hey, sometimes it's, sometimes it's the most pure that you can be as a fan, right, as they say? Yeah.
Exactly. You don't want to be too miserable. That's why I would never work for WWE. People always tell me, because they're one of our clients, wouldn't you love to do the work for the WWE Network? No. I like watching wrestling because I like it. I don't want to have to watch wrestling because I have to. If I start doing that, I'll hate it. And then if I hate wrestling, I might as well just throw myself off my fire escape. So, no, I don't ever want to work for WWE. I don't want to. Like, I have people who are Yankee fans who would love to work for the Yankees. I think that's a terrible idea. But, you never know. But, no, I think being a fan of something you love is perfectly fine. Because when it becomes a job, then it feels like a job. And I don't think I ever want that. for that kind of thing.
Exactly. I'm going to take a quick break, and then we're going to talk about some of your other podcasts other than the Place to Be Nation, I think, and maybe one situation that felt like a job. I'll just tease it like that.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
Voice of Ring of Honor's Kevin Kelly here. I want to make sure you're subscribed to all of our great feeds here at Place to Be Nation. Just head to iTunes today and search and subscribe to the Place to Be podcast feed, the PWO PTBN feed, PTBN Pop, and of course the Kevin Kelly Show feed, which includes the full archives of my podcasts. Some really great stuff. Subscribe, listen, and then rate us and leave feedback today. Thanks for being a fan of professional wrestling. More importantly, thanks for being a fan and supporter of the Place to Be Nation.
All right, Scott, so we're back. And as I said, I wanted to talk about some of your other podcast endeavors because you've had quite a few other than just the main Place to Be podcast. And there's one specific episode of one specific podcast that I just have to talk to you about. So we'll get into that towards the end. But let's start out with the ground. Let's say kind of what is your history of podcasts that you've worked on? This always seems to happen when I get people who I know are like radio guys, or like for me, I was a huge fan of radio growing up, and talk radio specifically. I end up talking more about the medium than I do about them, which I kind of feel bad, but we will get into talking about you later on. But let's start out with kind of like your podcast. So I know you were on like a digital radio network doing a wrestling show and a sports show. Then you transitioned over to Place to Be Nation, and then on Place to Be, or on the Place to Be podcast, and then on Place to Be Nation. I know that you had done, like, I think maybe one or two different sports shows plus the main event now. So let's get into it. What what were all the shows that you, not just guesting, but like actually hosting, that you've done so far?
Okay. All right. Well, obviously the main one is the Place to Be podcast, myself and JR, and we are now, I don't have it in front of me, I believe we are at 418 episodes. And that goes back to 2011. I am the host of Place to Be Nation's main event, which is everything. When we first did it, and this started back in, I think it was early 2000. I guess it was early 2014. We did mostly modern day wrestling of all sorts, but now we strictly do WWE because of the new show that has just debuted, Clotheslines and Headlines. Those guys go all over the gamut. They do Ring of Honor and TNA and everything else. So we're pretty much just modern day WWE. Then I hosted the first sports show on our network, Place to Be Nation's Extra Point. That was myself and Dr. G. And then we combined with another sport, with the second sports show that started, the Sports Lounge, and we were Place to Be Nation's Sports Evolution. But I had to drop out of that because it was just getting way too much, a combination of doing the two other podcasts and then doing a lot of writing, and it was getting difficult. So hopefully the sports show returns, but that was what I did there. I have hosted one music podcast, which is funny you mentioned music earlier, about, from what we're recording now, I would say about about a month ago, myself and two other fine gentlemen, J. Arsenio D'Amato and Jason Greenhouse, we did a special podcast on the history and the anniversary of MTV, who turned 35 years old back on August 1st. So I hosted that, and I've done a couple of Rewind shows, Place to Be Nation Rewind shows on specific topics. We've done it for WrestleManias, we've done it for SummerSlams. But the two main ones now is the Place to Be podcast and the main event.
Okay. And so I do remember Sports Lounge and Sports Evolution and all that. But what was there? Cowboy Goes to Class? Was that an article? Or was that a show?
That was an article, yeah. No, Cowboy Goes to Class was a column on PlaceToBeNation.com where Roger Morissette would, because he had left wrestling. He was a fan for a long time, and then he went out of it. So JR and I were – he was watching matches and commenting on him as somebody who had never seen them before. So that was the – we got to get back to that.
That was just column. Because I remembered him talking about the homework and stuff on different podcasts, and I never knew where the reviews were going, as it were. So that was just article. And who was giving him the – like what to watch – for those articles.
I think Justin was. He would primarily pick like random, and he would bounce all over the place. So like a WWF from 86, and then WCW from 95, and then something NWO, and then some ECW, and then Attitude Era, then back to like Hogan, and so he would bounce them around to different stuff, and we like the title indicated, he was going to class to learn what he missed as a wrestling fan.
And so. You also mentioned the MTV anniversary episode. I listened to that, and that was fantastic. I don't know if you guys have plans to do anything more in that regard, or is there any? I don't know. I don't even know what you would do. But that was so much fun listening to that. It would be nice to have some like expanded, you know.
Yeah, no, I definitely broached the subject with Mr. D'Amato and Mr. Greenhouse about doing another music podcast. I've kicked around a few ideas. I'm not going to get into that. I want people to be surprised. But we have come up with some different topics for different music shows, podcasts to do later on in the year, maybe towards the end of the calendar year into 2017. So I definitely am interested in doing something music related.
Okay. Yep. And then the main event. So we were talking about the core four earlier. The main event seems to have its own core four. Did you kind of pick that up from referring to the normal four people or the core four when it comes to the Place to Be Nation website? Is that kind of where it like got transitioned over to the main event or?
It was more like the core four of the New York Yankees. Posada, Jeter, Moe, and Pet Pettit. So the core four for main event was Ben Morse, Steve Willey, Andrew Reich, and Jordan Duncan. And the core four just sounded good because I had them on for so many consecutive episodes that it was, I kind of gave them that nickname. Then we bounced them around now. I love my core four, but they now have so many different podcasts. Ben does a Rewind series. Jordan does a podcast. Reich does the NBA team podcast. Willie does Mission Indie Pos. So those, when the core four first was created, that was really, they were just all guests on other shows, but now they're now hosts of exceptional podcasts. So it's difficult now to have the four of them on at the same time because they're so busy as well. So when they're – the last time all four were on at the same time was, I believe, episode 50. We did like a 50th episode special, and that was the last time all four were on together. But they're still on, but now I sprinkle them out and add some other people. But that's where the basis of the core four came from because they were on for so many consecutive episodes. I kind of dubbed them that.
And the main event took kind of, I think you mentioned in the beginning, kind of was more free form from the beginning. I think you guys would, I may be misremembering it, but I could have sworn there was like live watches at some point, like maybe not full shows, but at least like matches. Am I wrong in remembering that?
No, you're correct. That wasn't main event though. That was the Place to Be podcast. What we would do is, yeah, Justin and I did that occasionally. We would watch, one of the first ones we ever did, we watched Beyond the Mat. I think that was me, him, and Andy Flanagan, and we did that. Then we did occasional Saturday Night's main events, and then once the network launched, then we went, you know, all out. And most of those were Place to Be podcast episodes. We did Raws, some Saturday Night's main events. I think we did a couple of Nitros. Now the live watches are kind of their own beast. But no, we never did a live watch for. We never did a live watch on main event because it was just so much to talk about. We didn't have time. I would broach the subject to myself, I guess you could say, in pre-production, because if there was a week where, you know, it was quiet in wrestling, there wasn't a lot to talk about, I thought, you know what? That'd be kind of cool, do like a special main event watch and have everybody. I never really thought of that. But then something came up and we had stuff to talk about. So and now, of course, with, you know, two pay-per-views a month, you know, 9 months of the year. I don't think I'll ever have a shortage of content to talk about. But the live watches you're referring to were the ones we did on Place to Be podcast. Mostly they were Raws. We did a couple of movies, and in fact, JR and I would do a movie when I would visit him in Rhode Island. We would actually, I think we did. Did we do Suburban Commando? We did Suburban Commando. We did. I think we did the pilot to Thunder and Dice. So we do those when I visit him because they're fun. We sit there with a six pack and make a nuisance of ourselves while we're watching it. But But you believe it or not, Tim, I think you just put an idea in my head. A light main event week could live watch of something. You might have. Thank you for that. I got to write that down. But so the ones you're referring to, those are actually Place to Be podcast episodes. But now they've branched off to their own kind of series. Steve Willey hosts
it now. I think that was it. So. I think as the podcast network was expanding, you were hosting a lot of other things, it seemed, or at least felt like it. And then so it seemed like stuff would kind of ran together. And I think it's nice now, as you said, Jordan's hosting his own show, Steve Willey's hosting his own show, Ben Morris hosting. And it does now give each different podcast its own kind of identity, having its own host, which is nice. And everything kind of mm-hmm. feels different. And Main Event has always been, I guess since you started it, has always been a solid, like Scott, WWE, more WWE-centric, as you said in the beginning. You talked about other stuff, but you guys would kind of go all over the place and have different panels and talk about things. But there was one particular episode and one particular guest that I had to talk to you about because it was just – I mean, his name recently just popped up again within our circles, and that was the episode with Aubrey Sitterson from Straight Shoot. Oh, yeah.
I knew you were gonna bring that one up.
Just because as I was researching it, I came across that there was more of a connection between Place to Be Nation and the Straight Shoot than just that episode. And it seemed like it was a budding relationship between the websites. And then he's on as a guest and it kind of all went sour. And I just wonder, like, take me through it. What was it that you decided to book him on as a guest? How did it feel during the episode? And, we'll get into the backlash afterwards. But, yeah, like, what were the steps of deciding to have him as a guest when he really kind of didn't fit the community?
Well, I was booking. We were setting the week up, and I was getting guests on, and Ben Moore said, "Hey, I know this guy that," and I'm saying this because I'm not indicting Ben by any stretch. Ben is still, we always have a lot of tags when we do our podcast, but Ben Moore truly is one of my favorite people on the whole planet. So I'm prefacing this by saying that. He had said, "Oh, there's a guy that I think would be fun on the show, kind of a different guy. He does the Straight Shoe podcast. I'll be sitting." I said, "All right, I'm cool with that. I'm open to anybody once. If you suck, then you're not coming back. But or if you're a jerk, I don't really necessarily care if you're not comfortable talking on the air, talking a lot, because not everybody is. But if you're going to be a creep, you're never coming back." So that was all by going into that episode. That was my only prerequisite. If you're on once and I like it, then you'll come on more. If I thought you were, adversarial or whatever, then no, you're gone, because I don't suffer fools lightly. So he came on, and then Will, good old Will from Texas, popped on and said, "Hey, do you mind if I come on Main Event tonight? I got some stuff I want to talk about." And now normally I won't do that. And I like Will. Everybody thinks I hate Will because Will hates Triple H, which is the silliest thing on the planet. But I love Will to death. We may debate, but that's what the fun of podcasts. That's what the fun of wrestling is, to debate stuff. Not everybody. If everybody loved everything, then what the hell's the point of listening?
We don't need an hour long. Everyone said, I like that too.
Yeah, exactly. So I said to Will, I said, "All right, I'm cool." So we came on, and it was evident as the podcast was progressing, Will is a very old school guy. He's older. I think he's a little older than me. But he watched the territories back in the day, Memphis, Continental, Mid-South. And he has that very territory philosophy of wins and losses. And, you have to book a certain way and that kind of thing. And Aubrey was very, "Hey, man, everybody has to like everything. We don't need bad guys, good guys. And, hey, whatever," kind of thing. He was very – I don't want to say he was aloof, but it just came off as, "Oh, my God, here are these wrestling dorks who are taking this way too seriously." And as the podcast progressed, I said to myself, I don't think this – and he was – otherwise he was fine. He was not rude. He was very affable, a very easy guy to talk to, but he did at times come off like a guy who thought we were a bunch of marks who take it too seriously. And the fact of the matter is we don't, but it's fun to debate discussion. And he was missing the debate by saying, oh, come on, man, you're taking this too seriously. It's just wrestling. And I said to myself as the show progressed, well, why are you on then? And then the show ended, and it was actually one of the more entertaining shows in the history of Main Event. And Ben was very, like, you know, oh, you know. And I said, look, it's everything's cool. Everybody's allowed on once. And I like the guy. I follow him on Twitter. But he may not be the kind of guest that's probably suited for Main Event again. And that's okay. And that's okay. But again, one of the guys suggested him. We did the show. It was fine. He probably doesn't fit the kind of guys we have, and he may not come on again. And that's fine. I'm okay with that. But it was anything is entertaining, whether it's a shoot or not. So very rarely, Tim, do I click off on the recorder and go, Jesus, that show sucked. Rarely do I do that, because anything is entertaining if you put an effort into it. So even if something sucked, and if people listen to it and chuckle, then it still did its job, even if it was unintentional. So I do find it funny you bring this episode up, and I'm glad you did. I have no problem talking about it. He was a nice guy, but I think he thought we were taking it too seriously, when in the reality is that's what the show's about. We talk about wrestling. We're funny, but we have debates. We discuss booking. We discuss, you know, quality of talent. We discuss what wrestling podcasts discuss. And for somebody who was a wrestling fan, he felt very, oh, Jesus Christ, guys, it's fake. Get over it. And I'm thinking to myself, well, then what the hell are you on for? So, you know, and again, I preface all of this by saying it was not an indictment of Ben ever. Ben is still my favorite person on the planet. I don't think he even knew what was coming. And but we sat down and said, look, it was a fun, great show. And, you know, he may not be suitable to come on again, but the show was not a failure.
And it was fun, and it did stand out as an episode. But the way you're looking at it is completely even-headed, makes sense to me. It's just, you know, why would you come on and then have the attitude of, like, it's just wrestling, why do you care? Because it's like, well, you're on a show where we're talking about it. So, like you said, why would you have been on here if these points are just, if your argument against any point of having a conversation about wrestling is, well, it's just wrestling, so it doesn't matter. But, I mean, there are people who kind of have this new way of looking at it where they essentially try to say, like, oh, you know, wrestling is just this amazing thing, and it's new, and everything about it is different now, and that's what's making it great. And meanwhile, they don't kind of want to take the time to take a step back and realize that the reason why it's great is the same reason that it's been great for hundreds of years. And it's not something new, and it's not, like, novel that now wrestling is, oh, because everyone knows it's fake, that's why it's good. It's like, honestly, the parts that are making you enjoy it are the stuff that worked even back when people thought it was real. But from there, I mean, you didn't have any, I guess you didn't hear anything or know anything about kind of the fallout and everything that came after the episode came out?
Not really. Not really, no. I mean, I don't think there was any plan for any other future things with Straight Shooter or anything. I think he was a one-time guest. He was a guest. At the time, I didn't think he was a one-time guest, but he was a guest. And who might have been on again later on down the line if it worked out. But it's all good. And nothing really ever came of it after that. You know, the episode hit the website and people listened and people chuckled and thought it was, you know, interesting. I actually have to – it's funny. I don't think the show would have been nearly as entertaining without Will. I gotta give Will credit because a little credit because – it was between the two of them. Like, it didn't involve me. It didn't really involve Ben. We were kind of our normal, funny, jovial selves. And it was between the two of them, a guy who at the time seemed like wrestling was very aloof, and another guy who grew up in the 80s, hardcore territory guy, wasn't even a WWF fan, really, and was talking as if he was back in the 80s. And that's one of Will's charms of being on our podcast, because very much like that. And it kind of took us by surprise, led to a very entertaining show. But in the grand scheme of things, I don't know if he could be on again because his thinking of wrestling is such where I don't know if it would ever fit with any other kinds of guests. And that's okay. It's okay. It's all good. But nothing really came after that. The episode, you know, we cut it. I edited it. It hit the site, and we moved on.
Okay. I mean, yeah, I know that there was a little residual kind of issues between people here and there, but I guess nothing that ever kind of came your way, which is good in some ways. It's kind of funny too, because it was on your show, you know, and then I think that there's still, as I said, there's still people who, from the place to be, who I think still harbor some resentment and some grudge. I personally don't have any issues with anybody involved. I've been on a podcast once with Will, and I think, you know, me and him got in an argument, you know, so that just shows like how close he is with the people on, even on the network. So yeah, just, so has there been, I don't know, like that stands out. Do you think that there's any other episode that stands out to you, maybe in a positive or even a negative way? Cause to me, all the episodes are really solid, but like that one stands out for being, I guess, somewhat train wrecky. Is there anything else, any episode of Main Event or Place to Be Nation that really stands out to you personally?
There have been, there has been the occasional main event where, things seemed off. It didn't matter the guest, or it didn't matter who was on. I won't get into specifics about that because everybody has a bad night. Like I said, there was one episode and we talked about it afterwards when like Will is one of those guys who, when he has a point, he has to get his point out. But the one thing about me in terms of my mannerisms and my, format of doing a show is when I go to break, I want to go to break. So, every time I wanted to go to break or wanted to change the subject or move on to something else, Will would always go, "Hey man, can I just say like a couple more things?" He always did that. And I'm like, and the core four guys like Ben and Reesh and them, when they hear me sigh, they know that I'm not, that it's not a humorous sigh. And they could see as the episode was progressing, I was getting more and more miffed. And then when the episode ended, I actually talked to Will privately, and we were cool. And we're cool ever since. I go on his reaction shows with him, and we're cool. And again, people automatically, after the first time Will and I were on together, immediately thought we hated each other just because he hates Triple H and I love Triple H. And that's a funny thing. And that obviously is the biggest – wrestling trait about me as a fan, Tim, that everybody listens to. Everybody knows that my two favorite wrestlers of all time are Ric Flair and Triple H. It's obvious. Am I a Ric Flair fan? Obviously not. Am I the only Triple H fan? Well, other than one of our PTB listeners, yes, probably. And if it's out of respect, then I appreciate it. But every time Will would throw a dig, he'd always say, "Oh, sorry, Scott." And it's like, and listen, everybody's entitled to their opinion. Everybody's entitled to what they think. Everybody can hate Triple H all they want, and you're cool with that. You're not going to change my mind. He's still one of my favorite guys. He makes a bad decision, a COO of the company. Nobody has to apologize to me for it, you know. But that was funny. As a matter of fact, I don't know if you remember this podcast, Tim, but a while back, Will wanted to host a Triple H podcast where he wanted a big fan and a big hater. So he had me on and he had Dylan Hales on, and Dylan despises Triple H. And so he had like a point counterpoint. Now, I don't know what the premise of it was, if I was supposed to win something or lose something, but I worked my ass off on that podcast for a good 3 hours when Will went through Triple H's career, went over a whole bunch of stuff. Dylan would slam it. I would support it. I would slam something. He would, you know. And at the end, I actually said, I went to Will. I said, "You weren't setting me up, were you?" Because he hates Triple H too. And I didn't really know Will that well at the time. And I said, "You're not setting me up, are you?" And he goes, "No, I'm sorry, dude. I hope you didn't." No, not at all. I had a blast. It was a great show. As a matter of fact, a few episodes later on the Place to Be podcast, Justin said to me, he goes, "Look, I got to say this. We did a mailbag one episode, and one of them was, what are the traits that you like about each other?" I don't know if that was meant for us to play or whatever, which didn't happen. But he said to me, he said, "One of the things I admire about you is even if you're wrong or if you lose an argument, you will fight it to the end." He said that to me. And the main example is Triple H. I don't know if anybody expects me to not root for him anymore or not be a fan of his, but I fought tooth and nail in that podcast. But the only time that I would ever – that there was ever maybe a main event where – there was never a Place to Be podcast where I came in pissed off. There may have been some holiday episodes that I thought didn't go that great. But that would – nobody made me angry. I just didn't like the sound of it. But that's something JR and I talk about on the post-production or whatever. And that was rare. That's very rare. And there would be an occasional main event where I would hang up and go, wow, that was tough. But then I would listen back when I would edit, and the show sounded great. So I went, all right, well, maybe it was meant to sound good, even though I was, you know, not in a great mood. One thing I've learned, Tim, both as being a podcaster and in radio, you can't go on the air angry. Because it's gonna show in your voice and in the way you're doing things, and it's gonna be ruined. I'll give you an example, and I apologize if the answer is going too long, but when I was on the air at my radio station when 9/11 happened, and I was anchoring that day, and you could hear it in my voice, I was anchoring pissed. My news director pulled me aside after one of my newscasts and said, "Listen, you got to relax. We need to give information to people, and we need to make them feel calm. If you're going to keep sounding angry, I'm going to pull you." And so he calmed me down. I got back on the air, and the rest of the night was fine. I mean, the day sucked. It's one of the worst days in the history of our country, but I was able to get through it without any issues. And the same thing is with podcasts. You got to go in a good mood. You got to go in a good frame of mind. And very rarely did I ever go on whether it's the Play Podcast or main event or whatever, you know, rankled or cranky or irritated, because it's going to show in the show, and the show's going to suck. So there were occasionally times when I would finish a main event and go, oh, God. And it wouldn't be I was pissed at the guys. I had a bad day at work, but I hate canceling podcasts. That's a stupid excuse to cancel a podcast. So I would try and gut through it as best I could if I had a long, crappy day. And then when I listened to it on the back end, when I would edit it, I'd be like, you know what? This actually didn't sound too bad. But 90% of the time, it was probably me. But I'm very lucky in that all the podcasts I've ever recorded, both with Justin, with Dr. G on a Extra Point, with the guys on Main Event, I have never or rarely clicked off the recorder and went, oh God, that sucked. So I'm very lucky that I could have a clear conscience to say.
Yeah,
that.
No, and that's awesome. I mean, it does come through. I think you always sound jovial and in a good mood, and I really appreciate it. And I will just say, Scott, you don't have to apologize for long form answers or going, because I mean, in there you apologize and then you get into this, you know, the story about anchoring or I don't know, you didn't say anchoring, but doing the news updates on 9/11. Oh, you were
I was anchoring. Yeah, I was anchoring
on 9/11. Yep. After that, and it's like that's the point. I wanted to hear that. That's so awesome, and I hope that everybody listening appreciates that cool little kind of anecdote from your life, because that's something special. It's like you said, it's a really shitty time, but that's a life lesson that you got to learn from a really, what could have been a really stressful and bad, you know, situation in life, and you got through it, and you probably learned something from it, and it's something that everyone else can take away, which is you got to be professional. I mean, even in this podcast realm where I'm doing, you know, I'm recording this free, or I'm not getting paid for it or anything, I'm doing this just out of love, it's like I still want to be seen and come across as a professional, and part of being a professional is coming prepared to do your job and not coming leaving the stuff on the outside and not bringing that energy into the podcast realm or the work realm or anything. So no, I really appreciate that, and thank you so much. So Scott, we're going to take another quick break, and then we're going to come back and talk about Scott outside of the podcasting world a little bit, Scott outside of the radio world a little bit, and just get to know maybe Scott when he's a kid, what you do on your free time, all that. Does that sound good?
Let's do it.
Place to Be Nation's JT Rizzuto here. In addition to the archives of The Kevin Kelly Show, we have a ton of great podcasts available to you on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, and PlaceToBeNation.com. And we now offer them to you on two great feeds. On the Place to Be podcast feed, you can check out Scott Criscolo and me on the Mothership, the Place to Be podcast, with our famous Vintage Vault pay-per-view reviews. PTBN also covers current-day wrestling with clotheslines and headlines, main event, Mission Indie Possible, in our monthly pay-per-view reaction shows with immediate feedback on WWE, NXT, and Ring of Honor Super Shows. Relive Wrestling's Past with our monthly pay-per-view rewind series led by Ben Morse, and the Dangerous Alliance Wrestling podcast as we dive into various subjects in the form of exercises and games. All of this in addition to Scott Keith's Podcast of Doom, which includes discussions on questions from listeners, as well as current day and old school wrestling. We also have sports covered too with the Sports Lounge, the TJ McClune Show, and NBA Team Podcast. On our brand new PTB Pop podcast feed, we offer great shows such as the Glenn Butler Podcast Hour Spectacular, Rank and File, Lucha Undead, as well as a veritable podcast heaven for comics fans with the Hard Traveling Fanboys, Sellers Points, Todd Weber's Conversation, and Imaginary Stories. Subscribe to both feeds on iTunes and be sure to rate and leave feedback as well. All these shows are available on PlaceToBeNation.com, where we cover pro wrestling, sports, movies, comics, plus tournaments and more. Be sure to check out the right-hand side of the site for details on how to support the site when you shop at Amazon and download our free Place to Be Vintage Vault Refresh eBooks. We also want to thank our friends at Bonehead's Wing Bar in West Warwick, Rhode Island, and Fall River, Massachusetts, and Scott Keith's Blog of Doom. Be sure to follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Tumblr as well. PlaceToBeNation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
Okay, Scott, so we're back, and as I said, we're going to get into... I think we'll start out with Little Scott, just to make the most of sense. So, born and raised in Connecticut, or where did we start out?
Yes. Nope, I was born in just outside of New Haven, Connecticut, pizza, the home of the birth of great pizza. I was born in a little town called West Haven, so it's funny that both JR and I both grew up in towns with the word West in them. And I was a wrestling fan from when I was 9 years old. I remember the first guy, and I know Parv will hate this, the first guy that I ever saw on TV was the Magnificent Rocco. And him and Jimmy Snuka battled, and then the first big card I ever saw was Jimmy Snuka at the Garden, October 17th, 1983, when he jumped off the cell. And I was a fan from that point forward. But I pretty much spent my entire life in Catholic schools, 8 years of grammar school, 4 years of high school. Went to a private high school. Actually, my college was across the street from my high school. So the running joke is I'm on this street for 8 years and I walked across the street from one graduation to the other. So that was pretty funny. But, I was the youngest of four kids, so I put up with a lot of crap as a kid. I had two older brothers and an older sister. I had a pretty normal childhood. Nothing out of the ordinary. I played wiffle ball, played a lot of basketball when I was a kid, and obviously watched my more than fair share of professional wrestling. So I was a fan from very early age.
I was going to ask. So by being the fourth kid, by that point, the parents not checked out, but they were a little bit less probably attentive and a lot more hand-me-downs and stuff like that, I would assume.
Oh, easily. The lucky thing was I wasn't a fan of any of their sports teams. So I didn't have to get any Yankee stuff I was a Met fan. I was a Laker fan. My first favorite athlete was Magic Johnson. So I'm a big Laker fan, still am. I'm sure that makes you happy unless you like the Clippers. I did get some hand-me-downs. It's funny you mention checking out. My parents were older. And I had older siblings. So, yeah, by the time I was in grammar school, my parents weren't at as many school things. And I was fine with that. I had a lot of close friends, so I went hung out at a lot of people's houses. But our family was very tight. But it's funny you mentioned that, checking out. That's actually a pretty interesting observation because – I was a late bloomer when it came to sports. So, my dad was, he bowled with my brothers and they played Babe Ruth in Little League. I didn't start playing softball till college. So I didn't have a lot of athletics when I was a kid. I mostly watch wrestling and, you know, played video games. So I was a late bloomer when it came to athletics. I'm not going to lie. I did try out for football my freshman year in high school, but I blew my knee out, so that was done. I did play tennis, and I did actually do some shot put and discus, the big what we call the fat guy track events. I didn't stick with it though. I was solid but not great, so they became more of a recreational thing for me. But I did play my fair share of sports as I got older, particularly when I got
to
college.
I wanted to get into that next. So, you know, you kind of already did it for me, because I always like to talk to sports fan people, and because I'm not a huge, you know, sports fan, if I'm perfectly honest. I like combat sports, not necessarily team sports that much. And a lot of it, I think, comes from I played a lot of sports as a kid, and that was my primary thing. So you said there, you know, you played a lot of basketball when you were younger. That was about it. Do you see that translating in any way to your fandoms? Do you feel like the sports that you're more passionately a fan of now, you played a lot less of when you were younger? Or am I completely off base there?
Well, I love football. I would have kept playing football. I wasn't bad. I had played – when I did play freshman, I was a combination linebacker / tight end. I was a big guy. I didn't have a lot of speed, but I had good hands. But when I blew my knee out, that kind of killed that. It's funny you mentioned – I loved Magic Johnson, like I said, but I wasn't a point guard. I wasn't fast enough. I'm not that great a dribbler, but I was a pretty good shooter, and I could play defense, so I more played like James Worthy. I was a two or a three most of the time. I mean, I was pretty tall for my age then. Now I'm probably six even, but back then I was taller than most. But it probably translated to my fandom, because I would watch games and try to, you know, work on my footwork watching the Lakers. Of course, you know, I'm not James Worthy by any stretch of the imagination. But, you know, I would try to emulate them, buy their sneakers and things like that, but it didn't translate well to like college or whatever. I didn't play on any teams in college, but and I never was one of those guys. I don't know if this will be a question you ask, but to kind of correlate it, I was never one of those kids who like wanted to be a wrestler or wanted to get into wrestling and be a pro wrestler. I never got into that either. I just liked watching it. I was a fan, and that was good enough for me. But I had thoughts of wanting to play football, and I had thoughts of wanting to play basketball, but I hit the ceiling in basketball, and then when I blew my knee out in football, that pretty much ended that.
Okay, so I guess it's not there. I mean, I always just wonder about people if they have similarities in that regard, because of the way that I look at it, that I just never been a huge fan of watching sports. I really enjoyed playing them when I was younger, but I think I'm just not a huge sports fan. It doesn't have anything to do with playing or not, because it does seem to run the gambit, but I just like, you know, to relate to people. And it's also funny that you mentioned being about 6 foot even and being tall when you were younger, and then now just being, you know, slightly, maybe just right at average, slightly above average. Because that was kind of the same thing for me. I'm about 6 foot even now. But when I was young, I was tall. I was probably got to 6 foot when I was like in middle school, you know, and then just stayed there. I think it's probably because I started smoking in middle school, but you know, they can't prove it. but yeah, you know what's funny is it never even crosses my mind to ask people on these shows if they wanted to, if wrestling was a thing for them. It seems to come out, you know, like as I'm talking to people, the idea of if wrestling was the dream or what they were going to do, it just comes out, and I never seem to ask it. So it just – I don't know why that just never crosses my mind. I mean, it was for me. I tried. I was going to do that. But, okay, so from there, like you said, you went to college in the same – kind of same area that you went to high school. You get out of college. Mm-hmm. You – I would assume – I mean, did you move around at all? The radio life, from what everything I've ever heard, working in radio, you end up kind of moving markets to markets more regularly than a lot of other careers. Did you move around quite a bit and end up back in Connecticut, or have you been there the whole time?
I moved around within Connecticut. I bounced to three markets in Connecticut. I worked in the New Haven area. I worked in the Bridgeport area. I worked in the Stamford-Greenwich area, which is pretty much right down the I-95 corridor all the way to New York. the one market I never got to work in, which I that's another kind of bucket list thing for me, is the Rumford Market, which is the capital of the state. There's a legendary AM and FM radio station. They both have the same call letters, WTIC, and they're kind of like the legendary anchor stations of the state, and I always wanted to work at them, and I never got to. But I did move around within the state of Connecticut. I bounced from a couple towns, but I never moved out. And I think that's probably why I didn't stay in the business. I don't want to say I was not passionate about it. I was, but radio is a very unstable industry, even back in the 90s. So I was happy being in this state, but I knew that if I moved too far away, I just thought that it would flop and then I'd be stuck, and I didn't want to move back and, you know, move back in with my parents and anything like that. So I probably, you know, I never consider myself a huge risk taker. So I never moved out of the state. I moved around within the state. And then I finally got out of the business because it just stopped paying. But that would be one thing that I do somewhat regret that I never, you know, moved out of the business, moved out of Connecticut and into other markets. I do probably regret that a little bit, but then again, I don't know how long I would have stayed in the business if I did. If that makes any sense.
There's a lot of really talented people in radio who can't even make money at it at this point, you know, and people have had careers. And one person who's kind of griped about it a lot openly, who I've been a big fan of, and another one that I always have to bring up to people, but you being in Connecticut, you may not be familiar with him because I think he's more known out here in California, but Phil Hendry, radio guy who did a kind of out there show where he would play the characters that were the guests and also sometimes do fake callers and then take real callers as well on the radio, playing the host and the guest and sometimes callers and then his producers and everybody involved. And he openly talks about, you know, just that essentially it turned in – the reason why he left radio and now does podcasting is it turned into – you know, every radio station was essentially trying to not pay him at all, you know? And just like you said, for you, it's like you either have to do something that you don't want to do or somehow not get paid or be expected to make your money off of your own advertising or events or private events or stuff like that instead of, you know, the show itself. And it is kind of frustrating because the whole industry turned into that. And it was at one point, I mean, stuff like you, obviously myself, when I grew up, I was such a big fan and you got in there at the tail end and then essentially were told, like, you had to get out of there or else what were you going to do? Meanwhile, it felt like for me it was just not an option. I was like, by the time I was finishing up with school, it was like radio. I knew radio wasn't a viable career path anymore. And it kind of sucks that it fell apart that way. So from there, I mean, you end up back. I don't know, like, how far away are you? I don't know the topography of Connecticut as well as I should. How far away are you from essentially where you grew up?
About a half hour. Yeah, I'm about a half hour. My father passed away in 2012. My mom lives still lives in our hometown, and she actually lives with my sister. My brothers live close by. I'm actually the furthest away from the rest of the family, and I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
But I work in Stamford now, which is about 8 exits south of where I am, and I work for CBS Sports now. So I just left radio altogether and went into the TV business, which pays better.
Yeah.
But I live about a half hour from home. I don't think I want to live while my mom is here. I don't know if I want to move too far away, if at all. Connecticut is not without its drawbacks, but it is home. So it's difficult for me to walk away. So, I'm easily accessible to my mom and to my family from where I live, but just far enough away that, you know, I don't have to get irritated.
Yeah, right.
it's good to be close to home. It's good to be close to home. I'm okay.
Yeah,
with
it's not a bad thing at all, obviously.
Yeah.
You mentioned covering the local, I don't even know if you said local, but covering the election stuff there in Connecticut. And
Yep.
Politics seems to be a big deal in Connecticut in general. Were you covering local elections, or were you covering, you know, national elections? And, I mean, like I said, seems like Connecticut is a – politics are really important to Connecticut. It's very close to D.C. How about yourself? Like, do you find you're interested in politics a lot? Because you don't ever seem to talk about it on any of the podcasts. Are you a politico, or, you know, one of these political junkies that people don't know about it, or
Well, I did love local elections. I did love covering a lot of mayoral and first selectman races when I was in the news business. You know, believe it or not, the reason I liked localer, listen to me, and I was in news, local politics was because a lot of issues within a town or a city don't usually involve political parties. It's all about what's important to the person and to the resident, whether it's school districting or, you know, highway or putting in a bar or a strip club or, you know, something like that, or a Hooters. That was a big deal in a couple towns. This was in 2000 or 2001. I was covering meetings in a town, a couple of towns south of where I grew up, that was opening a Hooters, and it was a big deal. You know, kids didn't, you know, the parents were, a lot of the politicians and parents were upset. You know, they thought it was a glorified strip club and that kind of thing, which it wasn't, of course, and it isn't. And it doesn't matter whether you're a Democrat or a Republican. It's all about what you feel as a parent or a spouse or a resident of the town you live in. Sadly, when you get to state and local state and national politics, and I thought this was the case after 2000 with the whole Chads and Bush and Gore and that kind of stuff, that nobody cares what you think as long as you're the same color politically, not color, you know, racially. Whether you're a red or a blue, that's all that matters. Whether you make any sense or not is irrelevant. And that's why I always enjoyed local politics. I don't talk about it on the show a lot, although Justin likes to jab me because of, you know, my leanings. But I would say he votes for Lyndon LaRouche, the guy in prison, but for president. But unfortunately, Tim, we live in a culture now where politics and religion are touchy to people. And I always said to Justin, I said, we need to be very careful because there could be, whether you're joking with me or we're joking in general, there are people who take this very seriously. And if they find out that I voted for Mitt Romney or somebody voted for Barack Obama or whatever, they may hate us and never listen to us again. And nobody wants that over something that we don't even talk about on the show. Now, you know, for instance, Mark Claire has a great podcast called Lions of Liberty. He's very libertarian, and it's a great podcast, but that's what it's meant for. We're not going to talk about the 2003 Royal Rumble and then nobody gives a crap about my opinion because I voted for such and such or Justin voted for such and such or whatever. So try to avoid those topics on our podcast because they are very divisive. And unfortunately, there may be people out there who will take a political opinion personally and what would be worse, stop listening. Nobody wants that. So that's one reason why we don't bring it up a lot on our shows, because nobody wants to talk about it anyway. There's podcasts and places for that. But I loved covering local elections when I was in news because it's not about Democrat or Republican or whatever. It's about a town and the people living in it and how it affects them. Whereas once you get to the state level and the federal level, it doesn't matter whether anything makes any sense. If you're standing on Donald Trump's side or you're standing on Hillary Clinton's side, regardless of whether your opinion makes any sense or not, I got to stand over there or I got to stand over there. And that's why, and that stuff turns me off. So I enjoyed being at a local level when it came to politics because it was about the people, the families, and the towns they were in. Didn't matter what party. In fact, a lot of people I dealt with, I didn't even know what party they were, except the selectmen and the mayors and that kind of thing. But even the people that were, you know, the residents that were in the story, I didn't know who they voted for or leaned either way. And that made it even better because it was neutral. It was fair. So.
Yeah, no, I agree with you in that in so many ways. I mean, this podcast at times does turn into a political thing. It depends on the person and what they want to talk about. So this might be the, you know, this is kind of the place for that. As you said, there are places for that. But the Place to Be podcast is not the place for that. So it does make so much sense because it has gotten just way too partisan and way too kind of divisive to say, yeah, I'm on this side or that mm-hmm. side. I openly talk about it constantly. I'm not a member of either of the major two parties. I'm probably pretty left-leaning, but, you know, I talk about it. It comes up so much in what I do and what I say, and if you're going to listen to me, that I'm willing to risk it, actually, just because of that, and I think I'm pretty fair. I'm a big fan of Mark Clare's podcast, actually. He's going to be a future guest of this show. I've already talked to him. We just got to put it together. And I like listening to his show, and I don't necessarily agree with him politically at all. You know, and I wish that there was more people that could be that way so that they could listen, because I am going to openly talk about, you know, where I stand on the political, you know, side of things. And I would hate for people not to want to listen to the show, but it's going to come up so often that it is something that if it's going to turn you off, then you might as well turn it off. You know what I mean? If that makes sense. You know,
sure.
For you, it's not that way. Off that, though, I think we'll take one more quick break and then we'll come back and, kind of close her out here.
This is Parv, and I'm here to tell you to listen and subscribe to the Pro Wrestling Only Place to Be Nation podcast network. That's the PWO PTBN podcast network, where you'll find a ton of in-depth shows done by hardcore fans. We've got Chris Zellner's 1-2 Punch of Exile on Bad Street, and with David Bickenspan, a smash hit Between the Sheets. We've got Wrestling Culture with Dylan Hales and Dave Musgrave, Goodwill Wrestling and the Reaction Shows with Good Old Will from Texas. We've got This Week in Wrestling with my man Pete and Johnny Sorrow, Stephen Graham and Tim Livingston's Pro Wrestling Super Show, Tag Teams Back Again with Kelly and Marty Sleaze, and a ton of other great shows too. And of course, there's Titans of Wrestling and Where the Big Boys Play with yours truly and some dude from down south called Chad. PWO, PTBN, Podcast Network.
All right, Scott, so as everyone knows, this is the final kind of closing thought. I'll put it out there. I'll ask you, is there anything about you that someone who's only a fan of you from the podcast world, from the Place to Be Nation, would be shocked or surprised to hear?
I don't know. I'm pretty much an open book, I have to say. There's really nothing. There's really nothing that I've never hid, I should say, or that I mean, everybody knows I'm, because we talked about it on past podcasts, and it was in one of our Christmas specials. I am a member of the Knights of Columbus. I am I do go to church, but I by no means am I a holy roller by any stretch of the imagination. So I do avoid those kind of debates when I'm at parties, because parties are for fun. I say the same thing about Facebook. I will say this, though. I've actually waited. Justin doesn't even know this. I've never told him this before, so he's going to be surprised when he hears this. There was a Place to Be podcast that we recorded one night, and he didn't even realize it. I was very stomach sick one day. I ate something. It might have been food poisoning, but we were slated to record, and I was at that level where I was feeling like crap, but not to the point where I was completely debilitated until we started recording, and then I was like, oh my God. So literally every time I made a comment, I muted my mic and I threw up in a bucket. And then and then I went, dumped it, put it next to me, kept talking, and then every time, because as everyone knows, the way that the format goes for the Place to Be podcast, Justin I'll introduce the match. Justin goes over the fun facts, and then he does his very good analysis of a match. Well, I don't really remember what pay per view was. It was sometime during the 2004 calendar year, Vengeance maybe. Vengeance or SummerSlam. I don't remember which one. So while he was doing that, I was yakking my guts up, dumping the bucket, coming back in, did my comments, battled through. He would go to the next match. I'd throw him again.
Jeez.
It was rough. It was rough. And I never told him because I didn't want to. I wanted to see if deep down I could get away with it. And it ended up being a pretty good podcast. You might hear it in my voice that I'm a little lurched. But, I mean, we've had podcasts where Justin's had allergy issues, and they're well documented. He doesn't hide it. He's had he's coughed a lot, and he's sneezed, bloody noses or whatever. But he said it on the show. And he was always a trooper for doing it, because I would know when he would call me that on Skype that he was worse for wear. But this one, I was a mess. But I wanted to keep battling away, and it ended up being a pretty good show anyway. But I literally, it's like, all right, next up, except for the Triple H stuff, because he had to keep me on the mic. Edge defends the Intercontinental title against a guy who, was the former champion, JR. How did we get there? Mute. Dump. Fortunately, he would give me a solid 9 minutes to take care of what I had to take care of and then get back to the mic. So that is something that no one has ever known until this show. And I thought about it when we were talking today when I was going to come on. I said, should I tell it tonight? I should even surprise JR. I'm going to do it. So, yeah, so there is something no one knows that with the Place Be Nation people would know. I did a Place Be podcast, probably with food poisoning, with a bucket next to me, next to the couch, literally hurling my guts out in between matches.
That's perfect.
More than you probably need to know.
No, I love it. I think that people think I have some kind of sinister meaning behind that, and they're trying to figure out dirt. But, like, we heard a story from the guy from Podswoggle, Rich, was telling me that, he was born, I think he said 6 months late and had to wear leg braces because he couldn't walk and stuff. Like, he couldn't walk for a long time, and he was just completely messed up from being in womb for so long. Justin told me, another anecdote similar to what you did. Not similar in the same way, but it was, just an anecdote, And I think people think that I'm looking for some kind of, weird, deep, dark, dirty secret or something like that. But no, even an anecdote, that's the perfect answer. I love it. No one would know that, and it's just a cool little kind of trivia. Now everyone can go out and look for 2004 Vengeance Place to Be Nation review and see if they can pick it out, or they might have to go for the entire 2004 catalog to try to figure out which one it is, but someone can try to find it. But, that was exactly what I was looking for, Scott, so thank you so much for sharing that with us.
Oh, no, it's okay. I hope I didn't gross anybody out, and I think Jarrah might be a little stunned when he hears it, because even he never knew. I always wanted to kind of keep it to myself, because I wanted to see if I could. It was kind of a personal challenge for me to see if I can gut through a podcast, because honestly, I was feeling okay when we started. I thought I could kind of get through the podcast if something would happen, later in the evening or whatever, but literally, first match, I'm suddenly... So fortunately, the format worked out that Justin talks for 8 or 9 straight minutes before, or not maybe that long, maybe 4, 5, 6 straight minutes before it's my turn, before we get to my comments, and I'm able to kind of mute the mic. So I muted the mic, did my business, and then I was able to actually. It happens in anything. I mean, I could have stopped it. I could have canceled it. But I said, you know what? We already started. We're already on a roll. What the hell? I'll do the best I can. I battled it for the good of the order, I guess, for the good of the brand of Place to Be Nation. And it's funny. I always goof with Brad, because if you look at the hierarchy on PlaceToBeNation.com, it always says editors in chief Justin Rosero and Scott Criscolo, managing editor Brad Woodling. So everyone says Brad's the boss, but really Brad has the slightly smaller office than JR and I do, and I have all the good cigars. So no, but Brad's fantastic. But that's always a running joke we have. So anyway, I had to say that. I was kind of keeping that in, and I always wanted to tell Justin that, and I never – it left my head until you and I chatted about doing the show tonight, and I said, you know what? I think it's finally time I pulled the record on that one. So there you go. I grossed you out, and everything's great.
All right. Thanks, Scott. I had so much fun. Obviously, Place to Be podcast, main event. Anything else you want to plug out there to everybody?
Well, for you sports fans, for those that have been reading, the first 2 weeks of a great new a great new column I do with a great with a fantastic new writer on the site, Logan Crosland. It's called Campus Hot Takes. We go over the weekend in college football. It hits the site every Tuesday afternoon after the rankings come out and such. So check out it'll be up mid-afternoon Tuesday and every Tuesday during the college football season. And just go to placementnation.com. I mean, we've been up now 3.5 years. You know, Brad it was actually kind of an honor. He actually started the site on my birthday, June 1st, 2013. So it's kind of like my birthday and the anniversary of the site go hand in hand, which always makes me feel good. And it's just a great site. But Place Be Podcast, Place Be Nation's main event. Oh God, what else am I on? We'll get sports back eventually. We just need to get you know, people's schedules and such. I just did. It just actually came on the site the other. I think it was yesterday. My Ben Morse, who I mentioned, hosts the weekly pay-per-view rewind series. Myself, Ben, and Steve Willey did Clash of the Champions 8 Fall Brawl from September of 89, so check that out. And Tim, we're going to have you back on. JR and I are having you back on. You came on such a big, utter pile of dog poo, like December to dismember. We think you deserve a better show. By the way, Graham Cawthon always got mad at us that the first Vintage Vault we ever had him on was the 1995 King of the Ring. So he always felt insulted. And then we had him on WrestleMania 12, and that's where I started my Terry Funk impersonation. So
yeah,
thanks a lot, Tim.
So, I chose December to dismember, man. I honestly thought I picked it somewhat joking. And I thought that someone else had to have already picked it because it's just fun to go back and kind of wallow in the crappiness of it. But it ended up being more boring bad than good bad. So
yeah. And no, you did a great. You were fantastic, and we're definitely gonna have you back on.
Thank you
no
so
doubt
much.
About
well,
it.
Go check me out on This Week in Wrestling when this comes out. We're reviewing a new show from AAW, a new promotion for us on that show. They're also obviously Johnny and Pete doing all of the normal WWE and NWA Classic stuff. There's the relaunch of Wrestling with Words, super exciting for everybody. Go check out the website. It's so cool and updated. I think I have the latest review of ROH TV is from me. I think I got a little gonzo in there because I happened to be on the show live. So if you like that kind of take of someone being a little bit more tongue-in-cheek and more giving you the live perspective of a show, check that one out. And then, as always, I guess no matter what episode of Lucha Undead you're listening to, it's always the most important are the three B's, which are good buds, good brews, and good banter. Good night.